Good morning. It is 11:42 here in sunny San Ramon, California. This is Nicholas Harvey with the Journal of the Plague Year Project, and today I'm interviewing Brian Harvey. Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
This oral history interview is going to cover Mr. Harvey's work at Deloitte & Touche during the pandemic. So let's start there. Would you briefly like to introduce what your job is and what the sort of basic duties of your job are?
Yeah. So I'm a managing director at Deloitte & Touche based in the San Francisco office. And I work in the audit area. So my responsibility is managing client relationships and managing teams conducting audit of financial statements for both public and private companies.
Thank you. When you learned, or sort of, how did the pandemic affect your job at the beginning? So in March, what changes did your company make?
So in March, we immediately closed down our office and made it so that our employees didn't go out to clients, which is a normal part of our business. Most of our time is spent in client offices. So that was an immediate shutdown. And it seems like we did that earlier than many other businesses did, and it was a little before the state of California instituted some of its more restrictive stay-at-home orders.
Thank you. This is going to be a very broad question, and you can feel free to elaborate as much as you want, but what are some of the major changes that the pandemic cost to your job, and explain what the change was and sort of what it looked like before and after.
So the actual work that we do, at least in my group, really didn't change much at all. What we figured out pretty quickly was that we were able to be effective in doing financial statement audits just about the same as working in a virtual environment than it was working in person and being in our client offices all the time. It did take some adjustment just to make sure that all the technology was in place and that everybody had adequate internet coverage at home. So in terms of kind of major change, the work itself didn't immediately change, but other than, you know, doing it from a laptop in my home office as compared to doing it at the client site.
And so you briefly mentioned that you sort of had to, like, adjust the technology you used.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate on that? What platforms did you use, and for what purposes?
Yeah, previously to the pandemic, we did use, like, video conferencing applications, but it wasn't, it was more on an ad hoc basis and wasn't the primary way that we communicated. Emails was more prevalent, or if I was in a client's office, I would walk down the hall and pop into somebody's office and ask my question, or engage in, you know, dialogue through that. So we took a little bit of time to kind of adjust to technology and determine what platforms we wanted to use for video conferencing, because we felt that was valuable to be able to see people's facial expressions and just kind of have that better connection by seeing someone through video versus just having a telephone call. We eventually settled primarily on Zoom as our main, but we did continue to use some other products, Microsoft Microsoft and some others that were available.
Got it, thank you. To move on to the next topic, how did the working virtually sort of affect the social dynamics, not just between you and fellow employees at Deloitte, but also between you and clients?
I think it's definitely had an impact, and it's something that we, I feel like we have to make a stronger effort to make sure we're keeping those connections. In a work from client environment, I would run into the client, the people that I interacted with the client every day. And I would sit in typically a conference room with my team, and we would talk off and on throughout the day about work stuff and non-work stuff. So it's much easier to keep the that social aspect there and those connections and strong relationships. So I think that has suffered a little bit.
And how have you communicated with your coworkers during virtual work? Like, how have you been able to communicate with them?
Yeah, I can communicate with them as often as I want to, and we primarily use Zoom as our vehicle for communication. But it's different because you've got to go in and initiate that Zoom connection versus just, you know, I can lean over my shoulder and ask somebody a question or have a conversation with them while I'm just sitting at my laptop when I'm at the client site. But here, I'm not constantly connected to them, so it takes more of an effort. So there's definitely fewer touch points, and we have to make more of an effort to make sure that we're having those connections.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? How do you...
A couple different ways. Some of it, a lot of it is just ad hoc. As I, you know, have questions or things that I needed to talk with somebody, I'll reach out. I'll send them a text message or an instant message, or sometimes I'll be in the Zoom app and I'll just send them an invitation to click on if I know that they're available. So that's kind of the main way that I do it.
Thank you. So now, could you sort of walk through your what your daily work schedule, an average daily work schedule, would look like while you're working at home, and you're still working at home, but sort of start in March and explain what your daily work schedule would look like, and make sure you mention times, and then sort of navigate through the months up through today, which is July 13th, 2021, and talk about how your work schedule sort of changed.
So prior to the pandemic, since I was working primarily at client offices, I would have a commute. So that would typically be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half each way. So that certainly is something that I'm not doing now since we shifted to a work from home first environment. A typical work day, say in March, it can vary every single day. So there isn't really a set structure to my day in terms of what I do in the mornings and what I do in the afternoon. My general day could consist of, you know, all or, you know, a few of reviewing work papers that people have prepared to support the work that we're doing for financial statement audits, various meetings either with specific engagement teams that are serving clients, meetings with clients,
Very briefly, not to interrupt, could you explain what an engagement team is?
Yeah, so that's just the terminology we use for a team that is working on an audit of a client at a particular time. So we typically have a team that we try to keep as consistent as possible to perform that project.
Thank you. I continue.
So other things that I would do in a typical day, meetings with clients, internal meetings for Deloitte, they can run a number of different topics. They could be technical meetings, they could be meetings about resources and human resources and the availability of personnel. It could be scheduling issues, it could be performance evaluations. I'll have conversations with Deloitte employees from a counseling standpoint. That's just part of my normal routine. There's a lot of trainings that we do. Those have shifted to be completely virtual now, where in the past they were probably half virtual and half in person. So my day can vary on any given day, and there really isn't a prescribed time of the day that I would do those things, but the impact of time is that I haven't had to commute, which has been kind of nice.
Has your the total amount of hours you've had to work, not including commute, just working, has it changed? And if so, how has it changed?
I'd say it's stayed relatively consistent. I'd say it's relatively consistent. Things are kind of ebb and flow throughout the year, not necessarily on any particular calendar pattern, other than that we know that we're really, really busy in January, February, and March every year, and that's due to a lot of our clients having calendar year ends, which requires their financial statements to be audited shortly after year end. But I would say the number of hours are pretty consistent before and after.
And about how many hours would that be per day?
In a given day?
Or per week?
It probably averages 50 hours a week.
And does that include weekends?
Sometimes on the weekends, yeah.
And so before we move to the next topic, you briefly mentioned trainings that are being held virtually. What is the content of those trainings, and what is it training for?
It was a certified public accountant. I have required training that I have to do every year as a condition of maintaining my license. So the firm has a lot of scheduled trainings in order to help us meet that obligation. So those trainings can run anything from new emerging accounting issues that we need to be made aware of, auditing techniques, assessment of risks, changes in the environment that may impact our audits. We had a lot of those related to the pandemic and the impact, evaluating the impact that might have on our clients that we might need to evaluate for purposes of conducting our audits. It also might be on internal Deloitte, changes in software that we may be using, or other things that might be internal to the firm.
So that is a nice segue, coincidentally, into my next topic, which is sort of the impacts of pandemic on how the accounting field functions. So not including clients, just your auditing practices or other parts of Deloitte, if you can speak about that, if you're knowledgeable enough about that. But are there any changes in the in your work that are going to continue, you think, past the pandemic?
Yeah, so the trend in auditing for the past several years has been a shift towards using more data analysis and other emerging technologies to help us do our audits. A lot of those processes are we're able to do virtually. If you went back 20 years ago, client records were mostly manual, and we needed to physically be on site at the client in order to look at their paper records and evaluate that information. Now a lot of that is contained in on servers, and it's in the cloud, and it's able to be more easily accessed virtually. So that shift wasn't kind of the getting of information didn't really change that much as a result of shifting to a virtual work environment. The pandemic did have an impact on a few things. There were some regulations that came out mostly in the tax area that provided some relief for companies. So how those particular regulations get treated has a tax impact, which is some information that that my team would look at and evaluate to see that it's being done appropriately by individual clients. I don't know whether this relates directly from the pandemic, but we've seen a large increase in companies essentially becoming public companies and having increased workload. So that's actually increased the amount of work that we have to do at a lot of our clients and has brought in a lot of new work. So overall, as a firm, we're actually, I think, busier than what we were pre-pandemic. So there's a lot of additional work that has come up for us as a result of that. I don't know if that's actually driven by the pandemic, but that increased work tend to coincide with the shifting to the virtual environment.
Thank you. Just to ask a little bit more about that last part, if I understood you correctly, you were saying that you observed a trend where companies would go public, you said, over the past few years, so before the pandemic?
No, I think the trend of more companies going public seems to coincide with the timing of
Got
the pandemic.
Okay.
I don't know that it's necessarily driven by the pandemic itself, but it may be coincident.
Got it. And so let's move into, you mentioned briefly, new regulations in 2020 that relate to how auditing and tax work. So could you briefly talk about what those regulations are and how it's impacted your work?
So most of the changes, as I mentioned, are in the tax field, and really it has to do with the IRS providing incentives to companies to keep employees on the payroll and other kinds of incentives. So I don't work with taxes much directly, but I have part of my team that are tax specialists. So there's additional work that they had to do just to see that that was being treated appropriately. From an auditing standpoint, there really hasn't been much that's impacted me in terms of additional regulation. That does make me think about, though, that the in conducting our financial statement audits, we did have a additional procedures and things that we needed to do as a result of the pandemic. For example, because most of our clients have shifted to a virtual work environment, one of the things that we are heavily focused on looking at are a company's system of internal controls. And virtually every company had some sort of changes in those controls that we need to evaluate it as part of the audit work that we do.
Could you briefly define what a system of internal controls is?
Yeah, so it's the processes that a company has in place in order for it to conduct its business, record transactions, and the system of internal controls is basically a framework that a company has in place in order to ensure that things are being recorded the right way and on a consistent basis.
Okay. I'm sort of just going through when I asked you about the changes in the field, I'm just working back to clarify things. And so one of the first things you mentioned was that, one of the first things you mentioned was that some of the technology that's being used in auditing changed. You specifically mentioned data analysis, and you said other technologies. Could you elaborate specifically on what these technologies are, what they're called, what their definition, and how they're used in auditing?
I'll just touch on it briefly. So we utilize some artificial intelligence programs to evaluate contracts. We're using cloud-based kind of audit platform in order to keep track of all of the work that we do for a particular audit, which allows everybody to access the same documents at the same time instead of having to wait for one person to finish and pass it along. We're looking at... we're applying tools to evaluate trends in data that's coming from our clients, like a regression analysis. So those are the kinds of things without getting too technical.
All right. So we talked a little bit about your impacts in your... and within Deloitte itself. Final question on that topic. How has the pandemic affected, are there any policies that Deloitte has made as a result that are permanent, like working from home or anything like that?
Yeah, some of that is still kind of working its way out. We obviously implemented a work from home first and have essentially completely been working virtual. Currently, the thought is that the ability and the acceptance of someone working at home is more acceptable. I think that's going to continue. I think that's going to become a permanent part of our of kind of how we do. How we perform our work, where in the past you would generally not work from home hardly at all. You'd spend a fair amount of time, you'd spend most of your time at the client side, and then you'd have time that you weren't at the client. You would typically be in the office and do work in the office. I think that piece of it is going to greatly be reduced, and I think the expectation for people to be in the office when they're not at the client side is going to go away. And I don't think that's just strictly a Deloitte trend. I think what we're hearing from our clients is that they are looking for ways to shift to have working from home, working virtually to be a bigger part of everybody's
mentioned that Deloitte, well, in March of 2020, they started having everyone work from home. Have they set a date for when that's going to end, or?
It's been continually revised. So what we currently are looking at right now is that we're expecting that after Labor Day, that we would no longer be at a primary virtual, essentially required work environment. That after that date, assuming that your particular state and county regulations allowed for it, and that your clients were open to it, that we could shift back to working in the office or working at client sites. I don't expect to see that shift be immediately embraced by everybody. I think everyone's going to probably continue to work virtual first. So, and the firm said that if anybody who's not comfortable going back to the office or going back to client sites can continue to work virtually for the at least for the foreseeable future.
Thank you. So to move on to the final topic I had planned, talking about sort of impacts of the pandemic on different types of businesses that you see as you work with clients. We talked about this very briefly in the pre-interview. Could you sort of talk about, and use pseudonyms if necessary, talk about some of your clients and how the pandemic has impacted different aspects of those clients and fields they operate in?
Yeah. So we've seen a kind of a broad range of impacts. So my client base tends to be almost exclusively in the consumer business space. So my clients tend to be either retailers or product manufacturers or distributors of goods and services that ultimately go directly to consumers. So if you think about what happened with businesses back in March of 2020, a lot of businesses had to shut down when everybody shifted to work from home. Unless you were an essential business, you had your doors shut. And at the same time, people were concerned about the economy, so in some areas, spending was reduced. But with people working from home, they were spending a lot more time at home, and their whole family was at home all day, every day. So there were certain needs of the home that increased. So what we saw was for grocery retailers, they had a huge increase in their sales. I have a client who is a beverage, primarily alcoholic beverage retailer, and they saw positive results as people were doing that consumption at home as opposed to doing it in bars and restaurants. Other businesses saw the opposite impact, where they were negatively impacted. People cut down on discretionary spending, so spending on things that they didn't necessarily need. So some of those businesses were hurt. Hospitality and travel related businesses had a significant impact and essentially shut down for months at a time. So part of what we did from an audit standpoint is we had to evaluate what impact there was to our clients' businesses as a result of the pandemic, and that impacts how we evaluate the risk associated with the business and doing the audit.
So you mentioned that you have a client who is a beverage, primarily alcohol, distributor, and you also mentioned grocery and the hospitality industry, but it wasn't entirely clear to me whether you have clients that are in grocery and hospitality, or if that's sort of just knowledge that you know. Could you elaborate? Are those clients, or is that just information that you know?
So I have clients that are in grocery, and hospitality. I know just from other information mm-hmm. within the office from mm-hmm. colleagues who are serving hospitality clients.
Got it. Thank you. So could you talk a bit more specifically about the without using the name of each client, but go mm-hmm. through each client and talk about sort of the impact on the business. So you already went through alcohol and grocery. Are there any other clients that you've been working on?
Mm-hmm. I have a client that is related to an automotive industry. So the automotive industry had pretty significant negative impact. People were not driving as much during the pandemic, so their need to buy new cars was greatly reduced. So that business was negatively impacted. I have a client that is involved in the sports area, and essentially that was basically stopped completely for a year because of the pandemic. They weren't able to hold those sporting events, so they essentially generated no revenue during that time.
Go into as much detail as you're able to, but when you say sports area, mm-hmm. what does that mean?
My client is in the business of hosting sporting events, and their revenue is generated from advertising as well as ticket sales.
Got it.
So since none of the sporting events were happening during that time, there was no revenue, so their business was negatively impacted.
Got it. Thank you. And you can continue.
Yeah. Had another client that is in the shipping industry, and in the short term, say in the March 2020 timeframe, they had a pretty negative impact on their business as globally manufacturing slowed down or shut down. There was less goods available to ship into the United States. They're involved in shipping goods in and out of the U.S. So in the short term, their business was negatively impacted, but that ended up recovering pretty well. And the demand for goods in the United States increased along with as the pandemic kind of unfolded. There was a higher demand for household consumables, which is something that they ship, so there was an increase in demand for those things to come in, and then as the pandemic kind of continued to go, the economy as a whole, people were spending a lot. So just overall, the demand for goods was continued to be fairly high. So their businesses actually performed pretty well.
All of this knowledge about clients is direct knowledge from auditing.
Mm-hmm.
Just to talk about the have you gone through all your clients yet?
No, but I've got. You probably don't want me to go through every single client that I work with.
Okay. I'm going to ask a few more questions about your
okay.
shipping client, and then about how many clients do you have other than that you haven't mentioned yet?
All total, I probably work with 20 clients.
Okay. I think we might have enough time to go through all of them, but I'll ask you a few questions about shipping first. So you mentioned that the shipping, at least your client that's involved with shipping,
mm-hmm.
Recovered about what
repeat that?
So you talked about how in the first month or so of the pandemic, your shipping client was negatively impacted.
Mm-hmm.
But then you said that over time, the shipping business gradually recovered. Could you sort of talk about what time frame that happened in?
It was relatively quickly. Part of their business is shipping goods from Asia to the Pacific, the United States. When the pandemic first shut things down in the very early part of the year, in China, for example, I think things started to shut down in beginning of February. I'm just guessing, but it was somewhere around that time frame. So manufacturing shut down, there was less goods available to be shipped here, so there just wasn't the cargo to bring. But once things started to reopen, which feels like it was about the April time frame, manufacturing started to get back online, at least enough to supply what the household goods that the U.S. wanted, the available cargo to ship increased enough where my client's business was started to see a positive impact in like the May timeframe.
To clarify, just to make clear, when you talk about reopening in April and restarting a manufacturing, you're talking about within China?
Yes.
Thank you. And my last question about shipping. We have sort of seen over the past few months some backups, especially on the Pacific coast of the United States, shipping, specifically in the Port of Oakland. Is there any knowledge you have of that or any sort of aspect of that you maybe can talk about in your working with your client?
Not really.
You can continue to talk about your clients and the in different fields and the impacts that have occurred as a result of the pandemic.
Right. So there's another client that that I work with that is involved in coffee production as well as retail coffee. So there was a noticeable shift in their business. So if you think about the things we talked about before where people were at home and they were consuming things at home, part of their business is selling beans through grocery stores. Well, that aspect of their business increased significantly because people were buying more coffee along with everything else to consume at home. But their cafes were, a lot of them had to be closed down, so that portion of the business was negatively impacted, over the last year and a half, those have started to reopen. Most of them are reopened at this point, but you saw a shift in the source of revenue for the company shifted to grocery distribution or, you know, other channels where people were making their own, as opposed to going and going to a cafe and getting a cup of coffee or something.
Okay, so before you continue on to your other clients, we've been talking a lot about positive and negative impact on these different fields.